God bless every one of you wherever you're watching from. God bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. I pray for every one of you wherever you're watching from. God bless you. God bless you. And God lifts you up mightily in the name of Jesus. You are heavily blessed. You are mightily lifted. You are mightily fortified and heavily blessed in the name of Jesus. Marida sokoro do sheta karema sope eranuje. Berenegesu do boruna damase peredusha kata karida sete. Eranozo berenusata. I'm so happy. Wherever you're watching from right now, God bless you heavily in the name of Jesus. Wherever you're watching from, God bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. Just to be sure that everybody's hearing me, please, if you can hear me loud and clear, just comment that you can hear me loud and clear. If you can hear me loud and clear, just comment that you can hear me loud and clear. If you can hear me loud and clear, just say, I can hear you. Loud and clear. I need to see that. I need to be certain. I believe everyone can hear me loud and clear. I believe so. I believe everyone can hear me loud and clear. So God bless every one of you wherever you're watching from in the name of Jesus. Today is going to be another important teaching, another powerful teaching today. And it's gonna be a blessing to a lot of persons out there. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Gabriel. Good to see you, Gabriel. God bless you, Gabriel. Please share the broadcast wherever you're watching from. Share the broadcast. Share the broadcast so that others could join live with us. Share the broadcast. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless every one of you tuning in right now. God bless every one of you tuning in right now. God bless you in the name of Jesus. God bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Father, I pray for everyone that is tuning in right now. I pray for everyone that is joining us and those that are about to join us later, Father. I pray, O Lord, Father, that you open their ears and their eyes of understanding, O Lord. That you open their heart to this teaching, O Lord. That they will hear, O Lord, and understand your word, O Lord. And they will not just be hearers, O Lord, but hearers and doers of your words, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I empty myself as a vessel that use me, Lord, to be a blessing to everyone that is watching and those that are believing you for a healing, a miracle, or breakthrough in any areas of their life, O Lord. During this teaching, O Lord, that you meet their needs, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Thank you, Father, for the answered prayer. I know that you have answered our prayer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. So it's very, very important today. I want to talk about obedience. It's very, very important that we actually take a look at on what obedience is all about. Like you all know, every Wednesday we get to meet, and every Friday as well, except on First Friday. So every Wednesday, once it is 6 o'clock, I'm expected to be live here. And every Friday, once it is 6 o'clock, I'm also expected to be live here, except on First Fridays if I'm having a program. And if I'm not going to be live, I'm going to be announcing it as well. So God bless everyone wherever you're watching from in the name of Jesus. We thank God. We thank God for everything that has been happening in the life of so many people. Countless of testimony has been coming online, and we'll very soon be uploading so many testimonies to be a blessing to everyone that is watching. Countless of testimonies. So very soon we'll start uploading the testimonies once again, and to be a blessing to everyone that is watching in the name of Jesus. Now we're talking about today is the power in obedience. The power in obedience. I've come to realize that the reason why most Christians face issues in their life and maybe in a particular area in their, like I said, any part of your life, you don't have the word of God or praising him, you will suffer in that area of your life. If there's any part of your life that you don't know what the word of God says pertaining to that area of your life, you find that you'll be handicapped in that area. Not because God has not provided, but because you don't know what God has provided. You don't know what God has said in that particular area of your life. Most people believe that poverty is not the plan of God for any Christian. God wants you to actually enjoy. God wants you to see things. But the thing is that the reason why most times you're not able to live up to that expectation is because we don't know what Jesus Christ has said concerning prosperity. And most times when we know what Jesus Christ said concerning prosperity, we don't know how to obey it. And sometimes you see situation whereby people claim that they are Christians. And I truly believe that they believe that they are Christians. But the problem that they are having is that, yes, they are Christians, but there are certain parts of their life that have loopholes. You can imagine now, I've seen a situation whereby someone is a Christian is in a relationship, not marriage. They're not married, but they are dating and they are actually living in sin. Because even if someone promised that he's going to marry you and you are still sleeping with that person and having sexual relationship with that person, what that is called fornication. That is called fornication. Even after the person engages you and you still practice sexual relationship with that person, it's called fornication. And it's a sin. You hear people call me on the phone and say, man of God, my boyfriend did this, my girlfriend did this. And I'm asking you, how do you expect the person you are in a relationship with while you are fornicating? You expect the person to act normal when you have actually committed that relationship to the devil? How do you expect the man of God to pray concerning that? The man of God prays, and the same day when you people reconcile, the same day you people go to have sexual relationship and actually invite the devil into the relationship. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And that is where and that is where we are getting it wrong. I'm sorry. Let me fix something real quick. So it's important that we come to that understanding. So it's important that we come to that understanding. It's very, very important that we come to that understanding, because you cannot say you love Jesus and you're obeying Jesus, you love Jesus Christ and you trust Jesus Christ, and yet you don't obey the commandment of God. You know, how do you want the man of God to pray for you? How do you want that man of God to help you in the prayers? Because we need to come to that understanding. When you are obeying God, you have to go all in out. You have to go all out. It's not that I obey God in this situation, but I don't obey God in this situation. You talk about this situation where people talk about, I'm man of God, my business is not booming. My business is not flourishing. I'm having challenges in my business and that. Now, it's important that we come to this understanding, which is highly important that we come to that understanding, that there are principles outlined out there in the scripture that we need to obey in order for us, for our business to flourish, in order for us to flourish in any areas of our life. And this thing is something that we don't need to, there's certain things you don't fast for. There's certain things you don't fast for. There's certain things you just need to apply the principle God has given to us to apply, and we get the result. It's like, for example, now you can pray for God to heal you. Yes, you can pray for that. Or you can meet a man of God who has who understands the grace of healing, who have the gift of healing, to lay hand on you and declare him. The only thing you need to do is to activate your faith to receive. It's important. But when you come now, for example, let's say, for example, you are thirsty for water. You need water. You start praying, Father, give me water, Father, give me water. And whereas there is water, is a dispenser in your house, or there is water in your house, or there is a place where you can actually go and fetch water to drink in your house. If you want to pray from now to the next 3 years and say, and quote all the scriptures of giving, or all the scriptures that shows that God will answer your prayer, God will not answer that prayer because he has already provided for you already. There's a place where you can get the water. You can go out there and buy water. You can actually get to a place, go to the tap and get water. So there are so many places where you can get water. So why are you not praying for him to give you water? Whereas the water is right in front of you. Sometimes it's like, for example, you have food. You prepared food, or you have food. Then you're not praying for God to cook the food for you. You have the food item, but you're not praying, Father, cook the food for me. Cook the food. You don't expect God to answer such kind of prayers. And you can fast about it, pray about it, do 40 days night, fast about it. God is not going to answer that prayer. Because why will he answer? He's already there at your beck and call. So the same thing goes with certain prayers. Certain things that we call prayer points is because we don't have the right knowledge that backs it up. And that is why we don't get the result, because we don't know the right knowledge and we don't know how to obey it. Even some of us that knows that have the right knowledge don't obey it. It's like, for example, now, the Bible says something about giving, that when you give, you get back in return. So when you give to those who don't have, you get back in return. So why are you now praying and say, Father, multiply my finances, when God has actually said that, give and it shall be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shake it together, rolled over, shall men give to your bosom and everything. So the principle of receiving, of breakthrough, of financial breakthrough or material breakthrough comes with you giving. The more you give, the step at which you give is what you get back. So if you give in kindness, you receive back in kindness. So God, whatever you sow is what you reap. So we must sow good seeds. And whenever you sow, you don't expect, because I'm giving now, I'm expecting to get to the next day. No. When you give, you wait, because what you are giving is a seed sowing. You are sowing a seed. So when you obey God, you wait for God to answer it back. When you obey God, God always replenish. God always gives back. Whenever you obey God in any particular thing, God always rewards you for obeying Him. So certain things, certain rewards are heavenly. Certain rewards are just earthly. Certain rewards are both heavenly and earthly. Let's say, for example, if you're an occultic man, occultic men practice giving. They give a lot. You see them bringing out 50 billion, 50 million they're giving because in their, they understand the principle of giving, that the more they give, they're not actually taking their destiny, but the more they give or taking people's destiny. You know that the more they give, they actually get back in return. So the occult tell them to keep giving. So when they are giving, because the principle of X is that when you give, you must receive. So because they give, they definitely receive back. So it has nothing to do with their voodoo anymore. In as much as they have sold their hand by doing one blood ritual or whatever. But the devil still tell them to give. I've not seen any person that if you're an occultist and you don't give, or you're an occult man or a ritualist and you don't give, the money never comes back. Just that the devil can tell them not to give to their family member, but to give every other person. And I always see me spend lavishly. Some of them are even told to spend up to 1 million naira a day in order for the money to keep coming, because there's a principle of giving and getting back. And that principle is both for anybody, whether believers or not believers. So if you give, you definitely get back in return. So now let's go to the book of James. Now, the book of James 1, 22, verse 25 says something important. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what He says. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Can you imagine that? Now, this is what happens to most of us that are Christians. We hear the word of God, but we don't practice the word of God. We hear the word of God, but the word of God does not reflect in our life. We hear the word of God, but we say, this is really nice. But yet, we don't put it in our daily life. That is waste of time. It's a waste of MB if you can sit down right now and hear everything I'm going to teach you, and yet don't put it into practice. You don't expect to get results from it. You don't say, this man of God has been teaching, but I'm not being blessed. No, you have to put the words of God into practice. It's in putting the word of God into practice that you have been blessed. It's in putting the word of God into practice that you have been blessed. If you don't put the word of God into practice, you don't get the blessings. You can quote the scriptures, but if the scripture is not so real in you, if the scripture cannot find expression in your life, then you limit the scripture from blessing you. So James 1:22 says something important. It said, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. It's like, for example, someone keep quoting the scripture, said, give and it shall be given unto you. And yet the person finally had to give. You tell people to give, that it shall be given to them, and yet you don't practice what you preach. That's why the Bible said that, and all that Jesus began to teach and do, all that Jesus Christ began to do and to teach. So he was doing those things, he was living those life and teaching them. And that is why Jesus Christ was getting so much results. Are you following me? If you're tuning in right now, please do share the broadcast. Please do share the broadcast. If you're tuning in right now, do share the broadcast. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to see everyone. Simeon, God bless you. Udechukwu, God bless you. Blessing. Bless Dina, God bless you. Chimwendu Jane, God bless you. Emmanuel Ezedirora, God bless you as well. Damien, this is a new person. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Every one of you watching, God bless you. Mightily in the name of Jesus. So are we really coming to that understanding? It's very, very important. So some people live their life like that, whereby they read the scripture. They read the Bible, they study the Bible, but they don't know how to place the Bible in their life. If Jesus Christ says forgive, then learn to forgive. When someone offends you, forgive the person. Don't find a reason to forgive someone. Just forgive someone because Jesus Christ asked you to forgive the person. Don't wait till the person actually says sorry for you to forgive. Because sometimes even when you sin against God, even without you say sorry, God forgives you. Imagine if God does not forgive our sins. The moment you sin, you die immediately, because the wages of sin is death. But because of His grace that is infinitely and everlasting, He forgives our sins. We must learn to forgive people. So that is it. Now, when you hear the word obedience, what is obedience? Obedience is being submissive to somebody else's authority. Being submissive to somebody else's authority. So if you're saying I'm obedient, that means, now who are you being obedient to? Christ, right? So that means you must submit yourself unto Christ. And that is why Jesus Christ said that if you must follow me, you must deny yourself and carry your cross. So denying yourself means submitting yourself under Christ. Just like Christ is the head of the church, Christ must be the head of your life. How is Christ the head of my life? How am I going to obey Christ? Whatever Christ says I should do is what I will do. That is me obeying Him. It has nothing to do with my life. If Jesus Christ said, Emeka, I want you to fast for 3 days right now, I'm fasting it. I'm doing it immediately. Because why? Because he said I should do it. So my life no longer matters to me. What my life matters is the will of God. You are now taking the will of God and the shape of God and placing it upon your own self. And that is why you get results like the, you get a God kind of results. Yes. The God kind of results. It's in obedience. It's in obedience. It's in obedience. When God says, don't do this, don't do it. Obey him. In that obedience, you see faith activated. That is why James is saying this. He said, but don't just listen to God's words. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing yourself. It's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, let me explain this thing. When James is saying that, whenever you look yourself in that, when you hear the word of God and you don't obey it, it's like looking at yourself in the mirror, seeing what you look like. But after turning your face from that mirror, you forgot what you look like. The reason why the devil have upper hands in some Christians' life is because they read the word of God. They see the possibilities of who they are in Christ Jesus. But the moment they close the Bible, they don't believe it anymore. They don't believe that that possibility is real. They don't hold on to what they have read. And the only way you can hold on to what you have read is practicing what you have read. Then before you know, you start becoming a living epistle. So some Christians read the Bible, they close it, they say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible says so, the Bible says so, the Bible says so. But on what condition would that thing not happen? If I obey him, that's wonderful, they close it. And now they quote the scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And yet they don't obey God because their life, when they quote that scripture, the scripture comes, the power of God comes, but the power of God sees the person quoting the scripture, not living towards that scripture. The Bible said that any tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned. But the Bible says something important. It said, for that is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So if I am not a servant of God, that Bible verse cannot operate in my life, cannot work for me. He said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. So if I don't dwell in the secret place, I can't abide under the shadow. It's obedience. The obedience is to obey, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. So the obedience here is dwelling in it, coming towards him and praying to him and being connected, being intimately involved with the Holy Spirit of God. So when I am there, then the protection comes. If you read Psalm 91, after the whole blessings, the weapon, they will plant evil in the day, the arrow that flies by day, the terror that comes by night, they will not come near you. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your side, they shall not come near you. At the end, he said that, for I have made the Lord, my God, my dwelling place. Because you have made God your dwelling place, therefore no evil shall come near your tents. If you don't make him your habitation, if you don't make his presence your dwelling place, if you don't make your body his dwelling place, if you don't make your life his dwelling place, if God's words cannot find expression in your life, those scriptures cannot be real to you. And that is disobedience. If I obey God and I know I keep his commandment, then any tongue that rises up against me in judgment will be condemned, because that is the heritage of the servant of God. And if I obey God and I do what he wants me, what he asked me to do, I do what the scripture said I should do, then I am a servant of God. And because of that, if you open your mouth any place and speak evil against me, condemnation will come upon you for speaking evil against, because I am a servant of God. And if you speak evil against me as a servant of God, you are speaking evil against God. Because a servant of God, a servant is as strong as his master. If God give me his word, yes, a servant, listen to me. If God send me on an errand, I am not going in my own might or in my own authority. I am going as a messenger delivering the word of God. If you hurt me as a messenger of God, you have hurt God. And the full wrath of God will come upon you for hurting his servants. That's why the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Touch not my prophet. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So don't just touch his anointed, but don't harm his prophet. Because if you touch his anointed and harm his prophet, you will harm him also. I don't know if someone is getting blessed by this teaching. It's quite deep. I don't know if someone is getting blessed. So he said that now you see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So there is a blessing in doing the will of God. So when you don't do the will of God, you're only being blessed by the normal blessing that is given to everyone. daily, and it's renewed every morning. But when you do the work, someone that does the will of God, that does the word of God, receives more blessing, more protection than someone that just lives an ordinary life. It is a fact. Because if God is blessing you for not obeying his word, and blessing the serpent that is obeying his word equally, then God is not just. If I pray 7 hours every day and you pray 1 hour every day, you don't expect my spiritual growth to be the same with yours. Except I'm praying with the wrong motive. And you that you're praying in 1 hour, you're praying with the right motive. That is the only time you can be better than me. But if I'm praying with the right motive 7 hours every day, and you're praying with the right motive 1 hour every day, you can't compare our spiritual growth. They can't be equal. God is a God that is just. So when you hear the word obedience, it means you've been submissive under someone's authority. And in this case, we are being submissive under Jesus' authority. So the Bible said that if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And if you obey my commandment, the Father will love you. So if you love me, obey my commandment. So if you claim to love Jesus and you're not obeying his commandments, you are lying. Big lie. Fat lie. You are a liar. You can't say I'm a Christian and yet you choose to obey God on certain situations and not obey God on certain other situations. You say, I will obey him on this situation. But in this case, so I'm not obeying him. Some people gave themselves the reason. They said that the reason why I don't like giving to beggars is because you can give to them, they'll take it to a shrine. Excuse me. If you give to any, if I give you money, take it to a shrine. Yeah, what you will see will blow your mind. In fact, you might go there and be paralyzed self. If I give any beggar money and you take my money to a shrine, you are in trouble now. In fact, that shrine, if there's anybody sowing seed to that shrine or connected to that shrine, because my money that is there, my money will dry all their money and I'll become well there. In fact, come, let me give you money. Take my money to Orcot. You see what I'm telling you? You see it. I will feed off your energy. So it's important that we come to that and understand that whatever God has given to us, whatever God has blessed us with, obedience is important. Now, let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians. This is going to help us. Let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Now, this is it. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affect the body as this one does. Now, the Bible is saying, he's talking to believers. He said, run from sexual sins. You see, the society has made it that is a must. Whenever you are in a relationship, you should have sex. In fact, some people go to a relationship, if the girl they are in a relationship with is not giving them sex, they say, oh, God, you don't know what is happening. That is a normal thing. It is not a normal thing when you're a Christian. When we are in the world, we did that. But when we found the truth, we restrain ourselves from it. It's not, don't say it's a normal thing that everybody does it. That what is there now is to sleep with your boyfriend or to sleep with your girlfriend. It's a normal thing. Some people even do it, and after doing, they pray. Ah, Jesus. Some people take it as a norm. Like, they don't feel, their conscience does not guilt them anymore, but they feel like it's a way of life. It is not the way of life. The Bible says you should flee from sexual sins. And it said that no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You don't have the right over your own self. God only gave you free will, but you do not belong to yourself. We belong to God. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So now count yourself. How many times have you defied God, defied that body? See, anytime you have sexual sin with your body, you are speaking against God. Whether you're a Christian, tongue-speaking, fasting, praying Christian, anytime you have sex and you're not married, except you have done your traditional rites, your wedding and everything, finalize everything with your in-laws and you settle everything, that is when it is legal for you. You have paid her dowries and finished everything. Then you can't. It's no longer called fornication. It is now making love. But whenever you have not done anything on her head, and you are sleeping with her, it's called fornication. It's not called making love. It's called fornication. It's a sin against God. And you don't expect someone that indulge in fornication to be having life going easily for them. Because the moment you fornicate, that's what they call soul tie. You are disobeying God. And whenever there is, you disobey God, something must take place. God does not come to put his anger on you. No, he has forgiven you. But the devil capitalizes on that, your ignorance of not obeying the commandment of God, of not obeying God, of not obeying. See, the commandment of God are the word of God. The commandments of God are not the laws of God. Don't say God has abolished the law. He still gave us a commandment. Paul is still saying flee from sexual sin. Because this thing must be free, you must flee from it. Because if you still find yourself, if you say you're a born again Christian, but you still find your old nature, you still find yourself masturbating, you still find yourself fornicating, you still find yourself lying, you still find yourself committing adultery, you still find yourself in sexual perversion, you are giving access to demons over your life. And that means that if you see yourself fornicating, you can't really hear from God, because the frequency in which you are hearing from God can be affected. The Bible did not say walk away from sexual sin. The Bible said run, flee from sexual sin. It is not a sin you say, don't worry, I can handle it. You can't handle it. Don't say, even if 50 women naked themselves here, nothing will happen to me. My brother, you are lying to yourself. You are lying to yourself. As long as you are healthy and you are a human being, don't deceive yourself. Don't say, don't worry, even if she sleeps naked in my house, doesn't mean anything. You are deceiving yourself. In fact, do you know that the moment you gaze at a naked person, you are actually polluting your eyes and polluting your spiritual self? It happens. The eyes is the gateway to the soul. The Bible says so. Whatever your eye sees constantly, you become that. Whatever this eye sees always is what you end up becoming. I don't know if this message is blessing someone out there. I don't know if this message, share this broadcast if it's blessing you. If this message is blessing you, share the broadcast. Let a friend know. Let somebody know. So if this message is blessing you, let us tell a friend, tell somebody, share it and tell someone that this message is blessing me. When you are done listening to it, give it to a friend and say, this message blessed me. I want you to listen to it. And I want you must understand about obedience. Obedience is a choice. Obedience is a choice. Obedience is not something you say, Father, make me to obey you. God cannot make you to obey him. God cannot. He doesn't break his will. If he makes you to obey him, then he's manipulating you. It's not called manipulation. So God cannot make you to obey him. I don't know if someone is getting what I'm saying. Is someone getting blessed here? God cannot make you to obey him. Obedience is a choice. You must choose to obey God. You must, on your own, willingly choose to obey God and consciously want to obey him. There is nothing like, God, Father, make me obey you. Father, you didn't make me obey you. I forget that today. Father, make me obey. Maybe when someone slapped me, I slapped the person back. Father, you didn't make me obey you. No, you have to consciously. When someone hits you or slap you, you have to consciously don't provoke the person or walk out. You have to consciously do good for people. You have to, because it's no longer your old nature. The moment you become born again Christian, your spirit is changed. A new spirit comes upon you. Your new nature is like Christ. So you must start, the more you start renewing your mind, that's why the Bible said, be not conformed by the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. The moment you read the Bible, you read the word of God, you are renewing your mind. And the moment you are renewing your mind, you are becoming more like Christ. And the moment you are becoming more like Christ, you are getting the same result that Christ is getting. Whatever that cannot hurt Christ cannot hurt you. So indirectly, you are becoming invincible while on earth. You are becoming like the immortals while in the mortal earth. Jesus. How? Because your spirit is calling, your soul is fetching from the Spirit because you are reading from the Word of God. And you're not just reading it, you are also becoming it. Yeah. Woo! How many of someone is getting blessed? I don't know if someone is getting blessed. Jesus, I feel a strong anointing. I know someone is getting blessed. I need you to get really blessed. There's one thing about obedience. The moment you obey God, see, the moment you obey God, the moment you see, God obedience is not just about you just doing it. God obedience is first of all answered in your heart, in your spirit. God first of all see your obedience from your spirit to your soul. The moment your soul agrees to do it, God knows you will do it. For example, whenever I say I'm going to give someone a particular amount of money, it's just a grace. It's something I grow into. Whenever I say I'm going to give someone a particular amount of money, in less than a few hours, because I've said it in my mind, and God knows that my heart, Emeka, would do this. Because God, I don't know how, God always knows that whenever I make a promise, I say I'm doing this for somebody, I will do it. I don't go back on my word. I do it for that person. So the moment I say that, regardless of whatever circumstance is around me, I do it. So because I keep walking in that way, the moment I say I'm going to do something for someone, God blesses me the next day or that same day. Let's say I say I'm going to give someone 3,000 naira and God has led me, God is leading me to give the person 3,000 or 5,000. And I've concluded in my mind that I'm giving this money out. The moment I say that, before that day end, I'm getting either 10,000 or 8,000. But I must get something higher than what I'm about to give out. It's just how God works with me. Now, we see that in the story of Abraham. Let's go to the book of Hebrew. Oh, Jesus. This is awesome. I feel so happy preaching this message. This is so awesome. This is awesome. I believe someone is getting blessed here. Share the broadcast if you're watching right now. Now, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God. Jesus. Abraham obeyed God. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, someone wake up in the morning and God said, leave your father, leave your mother, walk out of here, go to a land I will show you. How? And Abraham left his father, left his mother, and walked out to a place. He was obeying God. He went even to the land God promised him. He was a foreigner in that land. God said, I'm going to give you Oka City, for example. And you came to Oka, you became a foreigner. God was saying that, I'm going to give you Oka. God was supposed to just link you to the governor or to the president. Just so that they will give it to you. But rather, God made him a foreigner in the land. He became a foreigner in the land. And God said, I'm going to make you a father of all nations. And Abraham believed God. God said, his wife has not conceived any child. He's not getting any younger. And God is saying, I'm going to make you father of all nations. How is that going to be possible? And he said, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. Your wife is going to be pregnant. It seems impossible in the eyes of Abraham. It seems, wow, but Abraham still believed God. Do you know that Abraham actually sacrificed Isaac? Yes, the Bible said so. The moment Abraham believed in his heart that he would sacrifice Isaac, he said in his heart that even if I sacrifice Isaac, I know God can raise him from the dead. Can you imagine what was going through that man's head? How can God say that I will give you a son, and after God has given you a son, and the son has grown up, you are happy that God has blessed you with a child. God is saying sacrifice that same child. If some people will say it's not God that is speaking, it's the devil. If you say, God forbid, all of my jet, the devil is trying to manipulate them. It cannot be. How can God give me a son? I want to take it back. It's not possible. That's not the voice of God. But God was testing Abraham. And Abraham said to himself, I will sacrifice Isaac. After all, God can bring him back to life. And he took the moment he said that in his heart, Isaac has already been sacrificed. You see, the physical outdoing is just what pleases man. God sees the spiritual doing because first of all, before any action comes out of you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The moment Abraham believed that he will sacrifice Isaac, in the realm of the spirit, Isaac has been sacrificed. So when Abraham went to actually raise his hand to stab, God said, this man really can do this. But God has seen that the heart of Abraham has given Isaac to him already. Because Abraham has come to a conclusion that even if I give God, even if I kill Isaac, God can wake this guy. God can resurrect him. And Abraham had not seen God resurrect anyone from the dead. But he knew that if this God that is speaking to me is so powerful to you, his words are true, then that means that he can resurrect Isaac. obedient. And God made him a father of all nations. And Isaac never complained, "Father, why do you want to kill me?" He never said so. Because Isaac is also a child that understands obedience to God. Jesus, this is so deep. This is so deep. So let's read it from the Bible. Book of Hebrews 8 to 10 says something about it. It says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going." He went without knowing where he was going. He just believed God and obeyed him. "And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith." So he was in the land believing, hoping on God, that I know that God said that this land is mine. So while he was walking on that land, he was not just a foreigner. He was a foreigner, but believing that one day I will possess this land. That is the mentality every Christian should have. That though you are suffering now, that you must have the mentality that this thing is only for a time. The issues and the challenges that Job went through was only for 9 months. I know that 9 months is so big. It's not easy. Trust me, it's so hard for someone to go through what Job went through. But even while Job was going through it, he believed the word of God. He believed God to the end. He believed God. He never spoke. He never cursed God the way the wife told him to curse God. He believed God. He trusted God. He obeyed God. He knew that I have not wronged God in any way. But if this God is allowing this, then so be it. If your finances is taken away from you here, will you still obey God? It's a question I asked myself when I was sitting down. I said, do you love God more than whatever you have? God. Father, I love you more than whatever I have. It's heavy. It's not easy to say, but it is heavy. But we must come to that understanding that regardless of whatever we have to love him. It's not easy to say such word, but Father, I love you more than whatever I have. Because what if that thing is taken from you? Can your faith stand? That is why we must come to a relationship with God. Keep yielding to God till we come to the understanding of who God is. If God take away my business today, God can provide my business tomorrow. If God take away my business for a year, he can double whatever I've lost in a year 10 times. He's God. He's awesome. He said in verse 9, "And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promises. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundation, a city designed and built by God." He was not just looking about physical beauty. Abraham was seeing beyond the natural because he's a man that understood what obedience is. You wonder why they call him a man of faith, Abraham, the father of faith. Because no one can exercise such faith like Abraham did. All of a sudden, someone spoke to you. You just believed him. Bam. And that is it. It takes deep intimacy. It takes deep sacrifice to follow God. The book of Hebrews 11:17-19. It says, "It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac." Oh, Jesus. He didn't say it was by faith that Abraham might have or would have. He said, "It is by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him." Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendant will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. So according to this verse, Isaac was sacrificed, but in faith and in obedience. In the spiritual realm, Isaac has been slain, sacrificed. Renoso coronaga berenaze eranaje. Yenuso urenade baradozo. Ketu kataka ekatakate. Jesus. Hey, this God we serve is an awesome God. Yes, we chant in the Holy Ghost. This is an awesome God. Ay, Jesus. Jesus. Awesome God. Awesome God. I don't know if someone out there is getting blessed.
I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. My life must change. My life must change. My life must change. You can never be the same. You've seen his face. Your life must change. You will never be the same. You've touched his grace. Your life must change. Prophesy. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed.
Karado shepere devosha arana mosha da barada. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. Karanoshe karadabasebe. Erenozo berenusha. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just take some time to worship God? Can we just take some time to worship God? I want you, wherever you are, to begin to bring yourself into alignment that you will obey Christ. I want you to come to an understanding that you obey Christ. Now, as I said before we continue, I want you to begin to align your spirit and tell yourself that I will consciously obey you, Father. Begin to have a moment with God. Understanding. This is something I want to open us up to this understanding. So if you are a Christian and you are having challenges in your life, find out that area. In that area, you see, some people say that it's a man of God, my business is not growing. How many books have you read about? How many Christian books have you read on prosperity? How many Christian books have you read on financial blessings or financial breakthrough? Man of God, I'm sick, I need healing. How many books have you read on healings? Man of God, the devil is attacking my mind. How many books have you read on mind? There are Christian books on mind. There are Christian books on healing. There are Christian books on prosperity. There are Christian books on business. There are Christian books on miracles. There are Christian books on so many things. Get them and read them. Don't just rely to the pastor as a getaway. The pastor should be like someone that after you have tried your own possible best and you are not able to get the result, you call the pastor for guidance. I don't know if someone is getting blessed. I don't know whether if this message is blessing someone. But I know someone out there, this message is blessing you. I know someone out there, as you're watching me, as you're listening to me right now, whichever device you're using to listen, whether on social media, whether on WhatsApp, whether on Telegram, as you're listening to me, I know you are getting blessed. Whether you're watching it live on YouTube, I know you are getting blessed right now. He is God. I don't know what is the reason why you can't obey Christ. What is the reason? On what ground will you not obey Christ? What is the reason? What could be that thing that could make you not obey Christ? What exactly is that thing that can restrain you from obeying Christ? What is that thing that can hinder you from obeying Christ? What is that thing that can delay you from obeying Christ? What is that thing that can prevent you from obeying Christ? Because at the end of the day, you still get blessed, mightily blessed from obeying Christ. So why don't you just obey Him? The reason why most Christians are having loopholes in their life is because they don't obey. They read the Word of God, but they don't believe the Word of God. Or if they believe the Word of God, they don't faith the Word of God. Yes, they don't faith the Word of God. Faith is an action word. So when I say they don't faith the Word of God, I mean they don't act out the Word of God. Because faith can only exist when you act out the Word of God. And first thing is obedience. You must obey the Word of God. And if you say you obey the Word of God, then you must do it. Obedience is not just, I've listened. No. If you must say you're an obedient child, you must listen and obey. And obedience has to do with an action. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. I don't. Maybe we can stop here You know what? Let's look at another verse as well. Let's go to the book of John. Let's look at another verse. Let's go to the book of John. Let's go to the book of John 14, verse 15. The Bible said in the book of John 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. I'm going to show you this commandment, so bear with me. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Then in the book, in same John 14, verse 21, Jesus Christ says something important again. He says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. So Jesus Christ is saying in verse 15 that if you love me, if you love him, Jesus, then you must obey his commandments. And in verse 21, he says that those who accept my commandments and obey it. So one thing is to accept it. One is not to obey. It's easy to say, I will do and not obey. But Jesus Christ is saying for those who accept it and not just accept the word, not just hear the word of God, but they hear the word of God and they act it out. They faith the word of God out. They faith it out. Faith is action, acting it out. So they hear the word of God and they faith it. So he said that those who accept my commandment and obey them. Now the commandment here are the words of God. Obey the word of God and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, so if you love God, you must obey his commandment. He said, and because they love me, my Father will love them. So if I love God, if I obey the commandment, it shows that I love God. Is someone getting blessed here? The Bible says that if I obey the commandment, it shows that I love God. So if I obey the commandment of God, if I obey what the word of God is saying, then it is showing to God, Jesus Christ, that I love him. And what in return, the Father will love me. In return, the Father will love me. Jesus. In return, the Father will love me. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. See, you want an encounter. Encounter comes from loving God. The moment you obey the word of God, the moment you obey God, the Father loves you, then Jesus reveals himself to you. Because you are already becoming like Jesus, so he will reveal himself so that you will know what you are becoming. He will show you, this is who I am. You have read from the book that this is my reality, that an encounter begins to take place. As a Christian, encounter is not something you should be strange to. It's something that you are supposed to be expecting every day you close your eyes. Every day I close my eye, I expect to have an encounter. Every day of my life, I keep wondering that, is it today that God is going to, Jesus Christ is going to appear to me? Is it today? I live in expectation of an encounter. I live expecting an encounter. Why? Because I know the word of God. Not that I master the word of God, but the ones I know, I try to practice it. I try to become the living epistle. Jesus. Now let's look at verse 23 to 24. Jesus now said in verse 23, he says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. All who love me will do what I say. So if you don't love the Father, you can't do what he says. He said, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. So if I obey God's commandments, the Father will love me. And Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost will come and dwell inside of me. So because I obey Jesus Christ, because I obey the commandment of God, right now I have three persons living inside of me. I have the Holy Ghost, I have Jesus Christ, I have the Father living in me. So I'm actually a complete temple of the Holy Ghost, a complete temple of the Father, a complete temple of Jesus. Tell me, whatever that cannot harm Jesus cannot harm me, because God, divinity, is living in me. That is where you see swag in Christianity. Come on now. Oh, I love that. Mary, God bless you. Say, come on now. I love that. Marika tate tete. Ere no sope era douche. Yakunte kanana tete kete. This is a very powerful word. So the moment I feel like standing up, Jesus. But if I stand up, the camera won't get me. I just feel like standing up, because now automatically what the Bible is saying here is that the moment I believe in Jesus, if I believe in Jesus, if I obey the commandment of Jesus, that is a sign to show Jesus that I love him. So if you say you love Jesus, it's not telling him I love you. It is the only way to show Jesus that you love him is obeying his commandment. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. So the only way to express your love for Jesus is to obey his commandments. What are these commandments? Let me show you one. Let me show you some of them. One of the commandments Jesus gave to us, he said, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So the moment you are able to love somebody else the same way Christ has loved you, then you are actually showing to God that you love him. So if I want to express how much I love Jesus, I must express that love to you watching me, to everyone around me. Everyone around me should feel that love. And the moment I love anybody, not your earthly kind of love that comes with affections and feelings. We're talking a love, a choice that when someone insults you, you choose to love them. When someone insults you, you choose to love them. When someone calls you names, you choose to love them. When someone says you are good for nothing, you choose to love them. You just love people. When you love people, you pray for them. Those you love are those you pray for. That is why I am available here to share the word of God. Because I love you and I want you to know the word of God. So that one day you begin to enjoy the blessings that come from serving God. I feel a strong anointing right now. Jesus. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Jesus. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Now listen to this. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 4, 31. I read down. He said, get rid of all bitterness. Now, the commandment is to get rid of all bitterness. The commandment here is get rid of all bitterness. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slanders, as well as all types of evil behaviors. So in order for me to obey the word of God now, if I have love, I can't have bitterness. If I have love, I can't have rage. If I have love, I can't have anger. If I have love, I can't use harsh words on people. If I have love, I can't slander people. If I have love, I won't have any evil desire in me. And he said, instead of having bitterness, rage, anger, harsh word, and slander, he said, now replace it. He said, instead, in verse 32, be kind to each other. Now, kindness cannot exist without love. Be kindness to each other. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I don't know if someone is getting blessed. I don't know if someone is getting this message. I don't know if this message is actually blessing you. If I'm too fast, you can still rewatch the video or the audio. I don't know if someone is getting blessed here, because this is a very powerful teaching. Now, let's look at Ephesians 4:28. Let's see something there. I believe, yes, 28. He said, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for something good. Whenever Paul tells you what to stop, he tells you what to replace that thing with. It's called the law of replacement. He said, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Then start giving. So whenever you are, if you want to kill the addiction of stealing, whenever you come to a point where you are about to steal someone's money, instead of stealing, add your own money. Put your money there. When you keep doing that, you replace the law of stealing to the law of giving. Because when you steal, you are cursed. A curse comes upon you. Not actually from God, but from the atmosphere God has created. See, if I throw a stone up, gravity brings it back. Whatever I sow is what I reap. So if I'm a thief, I must reap something bad. You can't be a thief and be reaping something good. Then God is not just. Although God is merciful. If you say you are sorry and repent, repentance is not just confessing your sins. Repentance is turning away from what you have decided, what you were doing before. If I am a criminal, if I repent, I will not do it again. I will turn away from it. It's not just confessing it and say, Father, I'm sorry. You repent. Change your mind from it to repent it. So whether you confess it out or not, the moment you are a fornicator and you stop fornicating, even without confessing it, God has recorded that you have repented. Because repentance is not just confessing it. Repentance is turning away from that thing that is evil. Gloria, yes, your head should be hot. You are hearing the power word of God. The power word of God. Ah, rikata, keteke patakato. Renozo beranasete karanoso. Erenushe eka. Wherever you are right now, the atmosphere where you are has changed. Because, you see, you might think you are still in your house or you are in your car driving. You are still in the bus or in a keke. Or you are still in your comfort zone, your home. Right now, we have changed atmosphere. We have changed. You might think you are still in the plane, the aircraft, or wherever you are right now, or in the train, or in the ship. We have changed atmosphere. We are no longer where you think we are. We are in the realm of Zion. We are in the realm of possibilities. And right now, I don't need to speak and call sicknesses out. Whatever sickness that you think you are having, or the doctor said you are having, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Now, wherever the word of God is present, let me tell you something. See, wherever the word of God is present, there are angels that protect the word of God. He said, my word will not return to me void. My word will not come out of me and hit the ground. He said, for you shall decree a word shall come to pass. So right now, as I'm preaching the gospel of Christ, the word of God, the healing anointing is available. The protocol breaker is available. The angels of the Lord are in assignment right now. Wherever you are, whatever you are believing God for, you see that before today ends, I know it's in a few hours, before today ends, you will receive a testimony that will shock you. Arato sope. Jesus. I see the angels of the Lord. I feel their presence right now. And I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. I feel heat right now. Some people, this teaching is taking you to a dimension in the spirit. A powerful dimension in the spirit. Some of you are entering into a strong atmospheric prophetic and randos. I see someone right now. You're watching me right now. I see a prophetic gift coming upon you right now. I see someone, the Lord is opening your eyes to scriptures. From today, the moment you start reading the scripture, you start understanding. There is someone, the Lord is curing your eyes. I'm seeing you use glasses. Now take out that glasses. Right now you start seeing clearly. That eye has been rectified in the name of Jesus. The eye has been fixed and corrected in the name of Jesus. Jesus. As a person said, the Lord is opening a door for you in the spirit realm. I'm seeing the Lord opening the door. I'm hearing the door of possibilities. The Lord is opening the door of possibilities in someone's life right now. Things that seems impossible, the Lord is about to make them possible in your life right now. You are entering into a dimension of possibilities. There's a lady, you are watching me right now. You are entering into a dimension of favor. You are watching me right now. You are in your couch watching me. You're watching me right now. You are entering into a dimension of favor. You are entering into a dimension of favor. People will start favoring you. There's someone, you are watching me right now. There are two persons here, a boy and a girl. There's something like a cobweb. You know there's something like a cobweb. Sometimes you feel like there's a cobweb on your face. Right now, the Lord is removing that cobweb in your eyes, from your face, in the name of Jesus. People will begin to see you and favor you. There's some persons here, you're watching me, people despise you. People, when people see you, they don't see reason to help you. When they promise you, they don't live up to their promise, because all of a sudden they start feeling weak to help you. They are feeling weak to help you. When they are promised that they will help you, they start feeling weak to help you. Right now, that curse that has been placed in your life has been terminated in the name of Jesus. It has been terminated and uprooted after the name of Jesus. I see somebody right now, you are asking God for the fruit of the womb. Take your baby in the name of Jesus. And someone right now, the enemy is trying to take your baby out from you. Right now, I cancel the plans of the enemies over your life in the name of Jesus. And someone here, you're watching me, your business, I see 3 months. For 3 months now, you have been having issues in your business. For 3 months, you've been having issues in your business. Exactly 3 months. You've been having issues in your business. When you go to that shop next time, take a bottle of water, be it an ever bottle of water, open the water and prophesy inside. Say that as I minister this water to this shop, I'm bringing forth life to this shop. And when you point to that shop, everything in that shop will grow back in the name of Jesus. There is someone, I don't know, is it in a dream you saw a dog in your shop? I don't know, is it your shop? I see someone, you're listening to me right now, in a dream. You saw a dog in a shop, in your shop, or you saw a dog. But this dog is not chasing, but he stands still looking at you, and you are afraid of that dog. That is witchcraft manipulation. That dog is there, right? Killed in the name of Jesus. You hear the news. The dog is killed. You hear the news. It's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome Father.
Yeah.
Someone say, you can't hear me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Jesus. Jesus.
Okay, so what I was saying, that I saw a lady by the name Gloria. I'm sorry about the music. I didn't know you were not hearing me. I saw a lady by name Gloria. Gloria Ezde somebody. I see you being moved. I see in the spirit. I see you in the spiritual realm. I see you being moved. I saw you being taken. You are taken from a particular place right now and moved to another destination. And that is the grace of speed. The Lord is giving you, your name is Gloria Ezde somebody. The Lord is giving you the grace of speed, the grace of speed. Then I also prophesied that I saw a man, you are watching a movie, you are watching a TV, right? You are in your house watching a TV, that there is a phone by your side. You are watching it with the phone by your side. Right now, I say kneel down. You're wearing something like a singlet or so. Like a singlet. And I say kneel down and place your hand. Place your right hand on your forehead and say you will not die. Say it three times. There is a debt that has been projected to the family, and now that debt has been canceled in the name of Jesus. That debt has been canceled in the name of Jesus. Canceled in the name of, completely canceled in the name of Jesus. Marida ure naga supe ekata katekete. Yereno zobere nana gojo bere debo soto. Karana zobe erana sete renuche. Erano sope redu sokoru naga bashene. There's somebody you're watching me from. Is it Taraba? Taraba. Ukari. Taraba. Ukari. You're watching me right now. You're watching me. As you're watching me now, there's something that is about to hit you as you're watching right now. Keep watching. Place your right hand on your chest. The Lord is about to restore something in your life. Your life is about to change completely. Your life will never ever remain the same. Your life will never ever remain the same. The Lord is about to change something in your life. There's someone also, that thing is settled in the name of Jesus. There's someone also watching me. You have a heart problem, a heart challenge. Right now, as I pray for you, that heart challenge is canceled in the name of Jesus. Go and check it. You will not see that heart problem. It's canceled in the name of Jesus. There's someone, I hear diarrhea. Is it diarrhea? I hear some medical, they say diarrhea. That thing is canceled in the name of Jesus. I see someone with fibroid. Fibroid, you have been believing God for healing of fibroid. That fibroid is canceled in the name of Jesus. I see someone, you have been having something like they call migraine headache. For 3 days now, you've been having that headache. That headache right now, as you're looking at me, that headache is canceled. You won't see it anymore. Not what you can't do before. There is a mother, you are listening to my voice. A mother, you're listening to my voice. You have been having pains. When you stand up, you feel pains towards your waist region and your spinal cord region. You feel pains. There's someone else. So someone again, you're watching me. You have shoulder pains. Right now, whatever you can do before, start to do it. The power in the name of Jesus has healed you. The power in the name of Jesus has healed you. Right now, you are healed, completely healed in the name of Jesus. What you can do, get to do it right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord has healed you completely in the name of Jesus. Please remember to share your testimony through our WhatsApp number. Share wherever you are listening from and you are healed. Share your testimony. Use this number, 070-66-77-1788. Share it on WhatsApp. Share the testimony on what God did for you. I call the number again, is 070-66-77-1788. Share it. Share your testimonies with me. Or message us on our Facebook page. Or message on Instagram at Prophet Emmanuel Okeke. And you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Or go to our Facebook page at Prophet Emmanuel Okeke as well and message us. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Your testimony, I'm waiting for your testimony. For your testimony will be permanent in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Mother Redeemer. Thank you, awesomely awesome God. Thank you, awesomely awesome God. Thank you, wonderful God. Thank you, wonderful Creator. Thank you, omnipotent, omniscience God. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Ah, yeah, take out, Akate. Areno Soto, please share your testimonies, okay? Those of you that received prophecy as I was teaching, those of you that God blessed while I was teaching, something was happening to you while I was teaching, share your testimony. And tell us what was happening, why the message was going on, why the prophecy was going on, what was happening to you, why the declaration was going on, what was happening to you. Share your testimony. Share your healings. And I await your healings and your testimony. Please share them now so we see them and post so that others can be blessed. You are heavily blessed and heavily defended in the name of Jesus. God bless everyone watching. God bless everyone watching. Remember to hear the gospel and obey the gospel and do the word of the gospel. And God will bless you mightily in the name of Jesus. Heavily fortified, heavily blessed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Shalom. And for those of you that have been wanting to be a partner to the ministry, you can message us right now. We'll give you a form you fill. For those of you that want to partner with the ministry or you want to support the ministry, however way you want to be to support the ministry, however way you are led to support the ministry, only if you are led. Don't do it, say, let me just give. If you are led, if you give, you are blessed. If you don't give, you are still blessed. Do it as you are led by the Spirit of God. And God bless you mightily as you do so. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. I'm still your brother and your friend, Prophet Chukwuemeka Emmanuel Okeke. Remain blessed in Jesus' name. Christ loves you and will forever love you. Amen. Shalom.